Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. That's the number to call. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or I'll have to press swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. And we are joined, as always, on the radio, colourful radio, based in London, but spreading the colour throughout the land. And listeners to colourful radio who are following this show should know that those phone numbers, etc., are for this show only. But you're very welcome indeed. We're asking tonight, why is Netanyahu a pain? This is a reference, of course, to the revelation, if it was a revelation, that President Obama regards the Prime Minister of what they call Israel as a pain in the neck. This is not new, of course. He was caught on a recording from Cannes in France during a very important international summit, exchanging views on Netanyahu with the then French President Sarkozy. In it, President Sarkozy said that he could not look at the face of Netanyahu. He was such a liar. And President Obama answered, "You have a problem with Netanyahu. What about me? I have to deal with him every day." The question, therefore, is if Netanyahu is such a pain, if this little settler state that they called Israel is such a pain to the United States, such a strategic liability to the United States, why do they keep indulging it so? Why do they roll out, literally and metaphorically, the deepest of red carpets for Netanyahu every time he comes calling? Why do they meet every demand that he makes? Why do they allow Netanyahu to lead them by the nose? That's a good question. Why is Netanyahu a pain? Or how is he a pain? Or why is he a pain? Both are applicable in this debate. And in the wake of the confirmation by a clinic in Switzerland that President Yasser Arafat was murdered by polonium-109, we're asking who benefited from Arafat's death. It is a given, I'm sure, that it was Israel and the now stricken Prime Minister Sharon that murdered Arafat. They murdered him because he would not surrender the essence of the Palestinians' rights, their right to Jerusalem, their right of return. So they murdered him to get him out of the way so that someone more pliable could come to the leadership of the Palestinian people in his stead. He became a barrier to their attempts to liquidate essential Palestinian rights. It's a given that Israel murdered him. What is a bigger question, and in my opinion, a more important one, is how did they manage to get close enough to deliver death through something that needs to be as close to you as a pot of tea? You'll remember that Alexander Litvinenko, the former KGB agent who was murdered in London, was said to have been killed by the same substance, which was delivered out of a teapot. So who was serving the tea to President Arafat? Who was taking tea with President Arafat? Who in the inner circle, in the Mukata, in Ramallah, in occupied Palestine, could possibly have collaborated with Sharon and Israel to murder Yasser Arafat? I should declare an interest. He was a friend of mine from my earliest years, at the age of 21, and I was there in Paris at the Percy Military Hospital. When he died, I was there at his bedside. It matters a great deal to me, but it ought to matter to the world too, because President Arafat was the undisputed leader of the Palestinian people, and he was leading them. He believed in the best way possible. It goes without saying that these are my views. They're not the views of anyone else. They're not views that I've been paid to hold or views that could in any way be influenced by anyone else. And moreover, If you have different views, your call, text or email is especially welcome. Geneva's the first port of call. Bani Mostafazi is there. Who benefited from Arafat's death, brother?
Well, good evening, George Dalloway. How are you, sir?
By the grace of God, good.
God bless you, you know, for this great work you do. Really, as I said once, we need more people like you on this
planet
Earth. Well, definitely, this is very clear, crystal clear, that he's been benefit for this imposed country, Israel, in the world. And as we are all aware, that they do anything they want. Earlier, we had this subject about nuclear powers. These people, if they are having all these destruction weapons, getting rid of Mr. Arafat was definitely one of their main work. Of course, to my regret, he did help them in the time when he left Palestine to go to Tunis when we had those beginning of those crises. So when he came weak and his cabinet, of course, they gave all the element. Otherwise, he should be well protected at the end of his career. Now, there is one little solution. It might be possible. You know, today with the science that we have, with all this smartphone and everything, every individual person is already 007. We know all about almost everything what they do, these superpowers, especially Israel. Why don't we use our identification, which is our cell phones, and make a worldwide petition under the name of World Parliament one day, so we could bring these people on front of the court before they destroy it, because the final aim is that they destroy whoever is disagree with them.
Well, I think that's a fantastic call, and I really couldn't add very much to it. I've just come from the British Parliament, where the 007s have been being grilled, if that's the word, very lightly grilled. Not even the toast wouldn't even turn brown on the grilling that the 007s had today. But I'm sure that they know, as the government in Britain knows and the government in Geneva in Switzerland knows, that President Arafat was murdered by Israel. But in whose interest and on whose orders and who collaborated in that murder? That's what I intend, as long as God gives me breath, to come to the bottom of. Thanks for the call, my friend. Here's Mahmoud in Sweden. Why is Netanyahu a pain, Mahmoud?
Hi, George Gallery. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, it's a nice day. Yeah, it's a very good topic for about this the assassination of Yasser Arafat. Well, it's just almost 10 years ago. Immediately, you don't need to be a forensic science to understand that this man, Yasser Arafat, was poisoned. Yeah. By Ariel Sharon.
He had 19 times the levels of polonium in his belongings and in his remains.
Yeah.
So they certainly went in for overkill, Mahmoud.
Yeah, that's last year is when they discovered. But long before, 10 years ago, people who have sense, they know that he was assassinated, Netanyahu, Ariel Sharon. Now I want to talk about this crazy man called Netanyahu, this devil.
Yeah.
I had a news, I don't know, maybe then they have half of their nuclear. They have tried to alert, I don't know, aiming at Russia, or I don't know whom are they aiming this nuclear. That's the question I want to ask you, if you are informed about this Israeli nuclear, which half of them are in alert, ready to strike.
Well, Israel has more than 200 nuclear weapons 20 years ago. So there's every possibility they have more now. They are centered in Dimona, in the Negev, and they're pointed at the capital cities of all of the neighbors. Of course, most of them will be pointed at Iran. But they can't really use them, because the United States would have to take into account that any attack on any of the neighbors by nuclear weapons would, of course, cause devastating damage to all neighboring countries, including countries led by puppets of the United States. Secondly, the use of nuclear weapons against countries that don't themselves have nuclear weapons would be a war crime of monumental proportions, one that the United States has already committed, of course, against Japan, not once but twice at the end of the Second World War. But they have these weapons. They don't allow anyone to inspect them. They wouldn't dream of cooperating with the IAEA, that most intrusive of international organizations, that's forever on the case of Iran, which doesn't have nuclear weapons. But there's no doubt that Netanyahu is a danger. He's a danger to the peace of the world. And we now know just exactly what the President of the United States thinks of him. Unfortunately, we don't know how come then the United States bends over backwards in every international fora in order to protect Netanyahu from the consequences of his illegal acts. Mahmoud in Sweden, thanks for that call. Here's Adam in Birmingham, in England. Go ahead, Adam.
Hello there.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, yes. I'm Adam from Birmingham. Yeah. The question was, who benefited from the death of Yasser Arafat?
Yes.
Well, that's obviously would be the Israeli occupation, yep. In a sense. I mean, the more people that are removed, the more people, say, for example, Yasser Arafat, he was the voice of the Palestinian people at one point, and to remove him was an injustice, and he was the only person that the Palestinians relied upon, you know, to lead their cause, and, you know, he was the only person that was the only hope of Palestine, you see. That's what I thought.
Well, of course, you're right, Adam. The question then is, how did they manage to do it? Polonium is not something you can infect someone with from Tel Aviv. They would have to be present physically in Ramallah, from which at that time, President Arafat very rarely left his headquarters. The last time I saw him conscious was there in Ramallah. They must have delivered this weapon of death there in his own quarters in Ramallah. So somebody in his circle must have admitted them in. The United States envoys were, of course, constantly visiting, as were envoys of other countries who also might well be said to gain benefit somehow from his death. The United States certainly wanted him out of the way. The British, no doubt, wanted him out of the way. He had become an inconvenient bulwark against their attempts to bulldoze a peace settlement, which is no kind of peace settlement at all, because it doesn't contain justice. And if there's no justice, there's no peace. Adam in Birmingham, thanks. Here's Christina in Portugal. Christina, welcome. Who benefited from Arafat's death? Christina?
Oh, good evening, George.
Good evening. Yes. Welcome to the show again. Tell me, who you think benefited from Arafat's murder?
Well, I don't know who actually benefited, but I'd like to know if there know, because, I mean, let's face it, the Swiss, who are pretty independent, pretty much proved that somebody shouldn't have 18 times normal level of polonium in his system.
Indeed.
So what I want to know is there now going to be a proper inquiry to find out who actually put it there?
Well, there should be a criminal case, shouldn't there?
Absolutely, exactly.
This was a world leader. When I was there at the hospital in Paris upon his demise, there were approximately 500 television cameras outside the hospital, from every corner of the earth, all fixated on this physically small man at the hospital, in his hospital bed. He wasn't the size of this table, I can assure you. It was a pitiful, pitiable sight. And they were all fixated on his condition because they knew of the importance of President Arafat to the Palestinian cause, and the Palestinian cause's importance to peace and stability in the Middle East and indeed in the world. So this is not just a common or garden murder. This is the murder of somebody very important in world affairs, and almost certainly someone murdered by and on the orders of another foreign government, and moreover, a government that we pay for and that we pave the way for and carpet the road for. Christina, thanks for the call. Musa's on the line in Africa, in Gambia. Musa, welcome to the show.
Okay.
Great to hear from you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, George.
Welcome. Go on.
How are you today?
By the grace of God, good. Thanks. Go on, sir.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your show. Again, I'm calling from the Gambia.
Yeah.
Well, George, I pray that you all have people like you. Even if you have, let's say, 200 people like George Brown, the world will be a very good place.
Thank you, Musa. Thank you.
We need people like you to stand up and speak the truth. And it is just unfortunate that our Muslim brothers and sisters are being humiliated all the time.
Indeed.
And I have a strong feeling, I have no proof though, but I have a strong feeling that Yasser Arafat was killed in cold blood. He was poisoned. He was poisoned by the state of Israel. We have no proof though, but it is in their interest to do it more than any other people.
Indeed, they were the first beneficiaries of the murder of Arafat. I don't think anyone seriously doubts that it was Israel that carried out the killing, or at least someone working for Israel who carried out the killing. I think the big question, Musa, and thanks for your very kind remarks, the big question is how they managed to do this. How did they get it into a teapot that close to President Arafat? How did they get it into his food? How did they infect him with a mega dose, a dose that would have killed an elephant, 19 times the normal presence of polonium in his remains and in his belongings. It is a big, big scandal. But I wonder if it's leading the news on the Western media outlets this evening. I very much doubt that. Thanks for that call in Gambia. Let's go to France, talk to Nadim. President Arafat, of course, died in France, in Paris. No autopsy was held, they said, at the request of his widow. I was one of those on the day at the hospital pressing for an autopsy on the principle that President Arafat belonged to all of us and not only to his widow. Nadim, what do you say?
Thank you, George, very much for putting yourself forward in such a difficult environment.
Thank you.
First, may I say something about the death of Arafat? It's so obvious that Israel has killed every person who mentioned the word peace, including their own. Don't forget Rabin.
Yes, quite so.
No,
they even killed their own leader.
Exactly. And don't tell me it's a person who did it. It's an organization.
They also killed, if you recall, I'm sure with your grasp of history you do, they killed the United Nations envoy, Count Bernadotte of Sweden, who was murdered by someone who went on to become the Prime Minister of so-called Israel, Yitzhak Shamir. He actually pulled the trigger and killed him.
So anybody who talks peace, they will stop him because all their interest, if you remember Anthony Nuttings, who said their interest is peace, yes, a piece of Jordan, a piece of Egypt, a piece of Syria.
Indeed so.
If you remember that.
Indeed.
Well, in another point, Arafat's signature in the states of the peace agreements were just going towards the Israeli bluff of peace. They do not want peace. And he knew very well that he was giving too much, but they knew that they wouldn't accept the minimum that he was given. So this is why they had to stop it before the Americans started thinking reasonably, which is difficult, but they might one day do it.
So Israel's the primary beneficiary. Its imperialist allies are also beneficiaries. What about the current Palestinian leadership, Nadim?
I think they're weak. They do not have the stature of Arafat to be able to play his game of bluff against Israel, talking peace against Israel. I think they're giving in too much, and I think they're weak.
We don't even know, of course, what they're giving away at the secret talks in Washington. God knows what's going to come out of that. Nadim, thanks for the call. I've got to go to Canada. Amar is in Toronto, where the mayor has just been found out to be up to some quite extraordinary things, Ammar.
Hello?
Yes, Ammar, you're on the air.
Yes, Joe, thanks to accept my call. I just got a few comments that I want to make.
Yeah.
And as a reminder to the rest of the world or to the Muslim world, just wondering, why are the Muslim leaders so quiet? Why are they scared of talking about the murder and the assassination of Arafat and all what's going around in the Palestine? Nobody has stepped up and talked about it except talking behind the doors. And we all see openly what the Zionists are doing to the Palestinians.
Mm. Well, most of them, Ammar, are belly dancing for the enemies of the Arabs. Most of them are trying to destroy Syria, for example, rather than focusing on the occupied Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa itself in the hands of a foreign army. It's almost unbelievable. Ammar, thanks for the call in Toronto. Let's go to Nigeria, talk to Dukku. Dukku, welcome to the show. Who benefited from Arafat's death in your view?
Yeah, Dukku, how are you, sir?
By the grace of God, good. Thank you. Go ahead.
What is the topic of discussion?
Yes, go on.
I say, what is the topic of the discussion?
We're talking about who benefited from Arafat's death.
Actually, it's Israel that benefited from the death. First of all, you know, now talking about there is an investigation about whether he was killed by the Israel or not. First of all, I hope and pray that he was killed by the Israel, because after they have finished using with him, so he is no longer useful, and they just kill him. And because they kill him, he signed the agreement of Oslo and many things. So the struggle initially started with good intention, but later on he compromised all what he initially started, and then later on.
Well, let me deal with that point, Dukku. I flew to Tunisia as soon as President Arafat returned from signing the Oslo agreement. I was very, very doubtful that he had done the right thing. And he put it this way: there is now no Soviet Union, there is no socialist camp, there is no Arab camp. We are left alone. We are without allies in the world. The political dynamic and balance of power and force in the world has changed so much that this is the best deal that we can get. And of course, he signed it, and they didn't get what was in the deal. Now, let's go to London. Talk to Jacob just before the break. Jacob, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go on, Jacob, quickly.
Hi. Sorry, I didn't know that I was on the line. I just want to say, first of all, thank you very much for supporting the people of the world. You're an extremely brave man.
Thank you.
I want to say about Netanyahu. He's just a frontman representing a Zionist group who've been acting as Jews since late 1800 for financial territorial gains to control the population. And it doesn't really matter whether it's him or somebody else that comes and replaces him. The aim of the group of Zionists who are acting against Jews, Muslims, against everybody in the world for their own benefit by pretending that they're Jews. But they're not Jews, they're just Zionists. I don't know where they come from. People say they're Khazarians and whatsoever. But these people are not representation of Jewish people. They definitely are not.
And the unsafest place in the world to be Jewish, Jacob, is, of course, in the land that they call Israel. You're referring, of course, to Shlomo Sanz's great work, The Myth of the Jewish People, which states that the vast majority of the Ashkenazi Jews have no connection to the Holy Land at all, but are converts to Judaism from East and Central Europe. Thanks for that call. God willing, I'll be back in just 3 minutes after the news with the second half of Comment. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We are discussing tonight, why is Netanyahu a pain? This is a reference, of course, to President Obama's revealed remarks that he considered Netanyahu to be a pain in the neck. It's not the first time he's said so. Indeed, he said so before in even more colorful language. The question then is, if he's such a pain, why do you do so much on his behalf? If he's such a pain, why do you roll out the red carpet, literally and metaphorically, every time he asks you to? Why have you bent US policy in the region so completely to his demands? Why do you continue to put up with them? Other people who have a pain in the neck would be rather keen on getting rid of the reasons for the pain in the neck. And Netanyahu was very keen to get rid of President Obama. In fact, he spent much of President Obama's first term trying to ensure that there would never be a second one. He openly intrigued with the right-wing Republican Party in the United States through the Zionist lobby to try and make sure that Obama was not re-elected for a second term. But Obama was re-elected for a second term, and he knows all that. So why doesn't he do something about it now that no one can touch him? He's also, of course, interested in the news that came out today that President Arafat was murdered, and was murdered by polonium-109, a deadly substance, but which one? A one which you must be very close to your victim in order to deliver. You have to put it in their tea, put it in their food, somehow, right up close and personal, you have to murder them with it. President Arafat had 19 times the normal levels of polonium in his remains, which were exhumed from the tomb in Ramallah on the request of his widow, Suha, and his garments, which were retained by the Percé Military Hospital in Paris, where I attended upon his demise. We got a call from Dubai, Santana. We better go there. Santana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, good. Santana, go ahead.
Oh, thanks a lot. I was just wondering, George, I was wondering about you because... Hello?
Yes, hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks a lot. I was just wondering, you know, I learned about the history of Palestine coming to Dubai and the struggle between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I've learned a lot. And you're very lucky to have met Arafat because you're such a fantastic guy.
Thank you.
And his death was so tragic.
Yeah. I learned a lot from him, Santana. He was a very great influence on me.
Yes, yes, yes. You're so lucky to have met him. I was just wondering about this and wondering, what about you? What do you think who profited from his death?
Well, that's what the Americans used to call the $64,000 question. We ran across those who obviously benefited, Israel, Sharon, and his allies, who wanted rid of President Arafat because he was a barrier to them. He would not sign, you'll recall, at Camp David. He refused to sign. They used to say that he'd missed an opportunity. He'd missed an opportunity to sell out fundamental, essential Palestinian rights. He wouldn't do it, and they wanted somebody who would do it. Now, I'm not in a position to name any person in the Palestinian inner circle who might have collaborated with Israel in carrying out this crime. I don't know for sure that any of them did. But they definitely benefited from President Arafat's death. President Mahmoud Abbas would not be the president if President Arafat had not been murdered. And those who wish to see a capitulation by the Palestinian people to a Bantustan-type peace in a non-viable Palestinian state with no right of return of the millions of Palestinians who have that legal and moral right to return, they have also benefited from his death. So in a criminal investigation, you always must ask the ancient Latin question, cui bono, Who benefited? That's why we are asking it tonight. Who benefited from the death of President Arafat, whom I met for the first time in the ruins of Beirut in 1977, and I was with him until the moment that he died in Paris. And in that time, I can tell you that whatever mistakes President Arafat made were honest mistakes, and he did make honest mistakes, but he dedicated his entire life and every waking moment, which was most of the moments in any one day, to the delivery of the Palestinian people to their land and to the heritage that has been stolen from them. He gave more than any Palestinian gave, including his life, to the cause of the liberation of Palestine. And I am proud that I was his friend for so many years. Santana, thanks for the call from Dubai. Sam's on the line in London on the same question. Sam, welcome.
Yeah, good evening, George Galloway. Yasser Arafat, they had him there in a compound firing, snipering an old frail man in that night, and not one country got involved in it. The only person that ever got involved in anything to do with Israel was Saddam Hussein, and God bless him where he is. But what I don't understand is why no one got involved. And Mrs. Arafat, she made it very clear. She was outspoken, but she was silenced by the president, the so-called president of Palestine at the time, who subsequently took over. Now, I don't understand how they can have someone walk into the compound and give him this poison. Clearly, this was an inside job. And it's all coming out now. But what are they going to do now? You know, what weight does this give now to Palestine? Does it make Palestine an advanced situation? I don't know.
Well, what I will say is this, Sam, and I was there. There was no autopsy. Unbelievably, the death in peculiar circumstances of a world leader. There was no autopsy in Paris because the widow, Suha, refused permission to give that autopsy. And I was with President Arafat's close relatives who loved him dearly. And they were bereft with grief at not only his demise so suddenly and so dramatically, how he wasted away in front of our eyes, but at the refusal to have an autopsy. So I don't know what happened when Suha changed her mind. But I'm very, very glad that she did. And I bet there are others who are very, very sorry that she did. Thanks for the call, Sam. Abdullah's in Libya. Who benefited from Arafat's death, Abdullah? Abdullah, you're on the line.
Mr. Galloway, long
yes.
time to meet.
Turn the volume down on your television, Abdullah.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me, Claire?
Yes, go ahead.
You need the
volume down at zero.
I'm happy to meet you today.
Go ahead. Turn your TV down to zero.
Okay. I just want to touch on the who benefited from the Arafat death.
Yeah.
I can say that we know those people that benefit from the gas explosion on Syria, those people that fire gas to the soldiers and civilians, I think the same people benefit from the Arafat death. Because we know, Kwame Nkrumah will die where we don't know who killed him. We were thinking that our people, no, it's not our people. We are still suffering from it until today. That
well, look,
why...
he wasn't killed in a car bomb. Neither was he hit by a sniper. He wasn't hit by a jet rocketing the Mukata. He was killed in the most personal possible way. Somebody would have to put the polonium in this glass, preferably of tea, or in his food. Now, it must be known who was around President Arafat in the period in which this poison was administered. It must be known, and we deserve to know it. Abdullah, thanks for the call. Sorry it was a bad line. Let's go to Nigeria. Talk to Shoaib. Who benefited, Shoaib, from President Arafat's death? That's the question.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Please, before making my comment, I would like to appeal to all our listeners, please. We should all be praying for you because I'm sure that all these warmongers will be after you. They want to see that they stop you from making this program. And then secondly, my comment would be, everybody knows that it's Israeli regime that will benefit from the killing of Yasser Arafat because of the struggling he is undertaking against them. So I am sure, without any doubt, without any proof, that Israeli regime is behind this killing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shoaib, and thank you for your kind remarks. I used to visit President Arafat regularly in the occupied West Bank, as they call it. I was a regular visitor to his headquarters in Ramallah, and indeed in Gaza before that, in Tunisia before that, and in Beirut before that. But I have never stepped foot in the West Bank since President Arafat was murdered. And I'm going to tell you what has hitherto been a secret. I will not go to the West Bank because I don't want inadvertently to shake a hand that might have been involved in his murder. Thanks for the call. Jeff in Lincolnshire. Why is Netanyahu a pain? That's the other question, Jeff.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome. Go on.
I'd like to say about the Yasser Arafat situation, I think the BBC unwittingly made a mistake 7 years ago in 2006 when they let the British public know exactly in what circumstances someone might be poisoned by polonium. When Alexander Litvinenko was poisoned by polonium in 2006, the BBC accurately said that this could only have been perpetrated by a nuclear weapons-capable state.
Very good point, Jeff. This was made by the government. This was reporting remarks by the government.
Yes, or a nuclear-capable state, I should say.
Yeah.
Because, and it's interesting because polonium does exist in the natural environment.
Indeed.
But unsupported polonium, that is to say radioactive polonium, does not. And that can only come, the BBC were quite right to say, that can only come from as a result of a nuclear reaction. And that can only take place on this planet inside a man-made nuclear reactor. So the question is, if this is true, and it very much is, it would seem, that Arafat was poisoned with polonium, that the issue here, basically, is Arafat's death had to be a result of the Israelis poisoning him with polonium. It had to be. There couldn't be any other explanation, unless someone else did it, which is very unlikely. It had to be a nuclear weapons-capable state.
What a good call, Jeff, and perfectly encapsulated. Let me just ask you something. This actually, in my view, reopens the case of Alexander Litvinenko, because it sure as eggs are eggs, wasn't Russia who murdered Arafat. Yet here is a second killing using exactly the same methodology and exactly the same weapon. So if Russia didn't kill President Arafat, how do we know that the person or people or state who killed Arafat didn't also kill Litvinenko?
No, we do know that Israel, if it hasn't yet murdered people in Britain, it certainly used British passports to murder people, as in the case of the Hamas leader in Dubai a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we do know, I would just like to say that depending on the scientific methodology that we follow, it is Arafat either had 18 times the normal level of polonium or 36 times the normal level of polonium. That's polonium. When it comes to unsupported polonium, there is no explanation for even a tiny amount, none at all. That is completely and utterly, I mean, it can only mean one thing. It's not a conspiracy theory. If someone were to find the minutest amount of unsupported polonium in any human remains or anywhere outside a nuclear reactor, that has to be, you know, strange as it may sound, there is no other possibility than that had to come from a nuclear reactor. I just wanted to make people aware of that.
Well, that's the best call of the night and many a night. Jeff in Lincolnshire, thanks very much for that. Let's go to Abdulaziz. Abdulaziz, who benefited from Arafat's death, in your view? Turn the volume down in Cairo.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome, Abdulaziz. Go ahead.
Yeah, the question of who's benefit, I think these very people who created Israel as a rogue state are the one benefiting, because whether we like it or not, Israel was created by the rogue state, the Americas and the cohorts, and is doing their job, their dirty job. I mean, spying for them, creating drone, a research center for them. We all know what is going on. But the question of Palestine, whether we like it or not, is a religious one. Nothing will remove Israel from that place until we use the same system they use. They use violence to create Israel. That's the only thing that can remove. No roundtable discussion, whether they kill 100 of Yasser Arafat, it will not have changed anything. Whether Yasser Arafat is alive or not, the question is still remains. So my own take is nothing will happen whether they kill or Yasser Arafat is alive. What will remove Israel is the same violence.
Well, the Arab states could stop collaborating with Abdulaziz. That would be a good start. The government in your own country has destroyed 800 tunnels through which the Palestinian people in Gaza were feeding themselves. But I'll not put you on the spot on that one. Thanks indeed for the call in Cairo. Yusuf is on the line in London. Yusuf, who do you think benefited from Arafat's murder? Yusuf?
Oh, hello, Mr. Galloway.
Hello there, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Nice to see you again.
And thank you.
First of all, I'd like to wish that Yasser Arafat will rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And no doubt, we believe that he's been poisoned. It was a strange death. And who benefits, obviously and clearly, it is the Zionist movement in Israel. And that's basically your assessment, as you put it. And also, I agree strongly with Jeff, who called earlier from the UK somewhere here.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite impressed with the assessment. And it's pretty much what most people that have a level of consciousness believe the same way. But I must include here that to really be able to do that, you have to be close to Mr. Arafat. It could be a doctor, it could be,
right,
I don't know, a very close person that administrate the medication or whatever.
Indeed.
As Jeff referred to it, there's a lot of people being used, whether in Dubai or this poison polonium that must have come out from a nuclear base, basically, must have been handled by very close people to Israel or certainly not the environment of Mr. Arafat, because I don't think they have access to polonium at all.
Not at all.
So it's got to be someone who's benefited from the inside. And we see how the complication that was around Mr. Arafat, because as you put it, he could not sign things that would sell the blood of his people. And that's quite honorable from him to do. And certainly he was on the way of many other Palestinians that, or the Arab nations sadly around, that would benefit from that kind of, let's find a totally different solution that does not suit the Palestinian people. And sadly, they're going to put them to face the consequences, and as we see now happening.
Well, this story is not going to go away, Yusuf, not if I can help it. I intend to investigate how we can make the necessary legal moves to hold somebody accountable for a very dastardly crime that we now know took place in Ramallah. Thanks, Yusuf, in London. Let's stay in London. Talk to Dawood. Dawood, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Galloway. Just thought I'd give you a call as I feel that from your experience, you'll maybe understand that Mr. Arafat was obviously a figurehead of hope for the Palestinian people and sympathizers of the Palestinian cause worldwide. So there was inevitable and obvious motive of assassinating him. And I think Israel wanted people to know that, you know, when it was found that polonium was used, that you know, they had access to this. And like they've brazenly in the past, both undercover and openly assassinated members of Hamas and anybody who opposed their cause, credible opposers of their cause worldwide, they've made no hesitation in removing them, whether it be mainly unlawfully. And with their murderous activities, if it's found that this is true, will there be any recourse for them? And I think
that's the big question. Thanks, brother. That was a great call. Let's take one last before we go. Irfan is also in London. Irfan, the floor is yours.
Hello, George. Nice to speak to you again.
And you, sir.
I remember when I first spoke to you at the Howard Centre in Newham at the start of the Newham Revolution.
Oh, yes.
But good to speak to you again. Now, with Arafat's death, I think that had we suggested as soon as Arafat had died that he had been poisoned, we would have been seen as people talking a lot of bunkum. And it's the same way I feel about Hugo Chavez and many other South American leaders, that they have been poisoned. And if we mention that right now, people are going to ridicule you and see you as ludicrous. But after a few years, when people start to wonder, it's very strange, you know, that all of these people, one after the other, are being killed by cancer and radioactive materials. I mean, there must be somebody behind this.
Yes, no, it's a very good point. They slayed President Arafat, Irfan, and then they slandered him. They slandered those of us who were certain that he had been murdered.
Exactly.
They slandered him. They said he had AIDS. You remember that one? That story traveled the entire world, that President Arafat had died from AIDS, with all the smear that was intended to be attached to that prognosis or diagnosis. In fact, they murdered Arafat. They murdered him because he was a flag, a symbol of the Palestinian people's resistance and their determination to return to their country. A determination which is undimmed. President Yasser Arafat, may God have mercy upon you.
Hello, just comment on the name of the person who left my number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me to the phone number and then we'll do that.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll do it.